The Monty Show. It's Wednesday, March 28th, 2018. And we are, what, I don't know, 17 hours away from opening day or something like that. Fired up. Baseball is back, baby. We'll talk all kinds of stuff, including Jake being a real jerk about the New York Yankees. Oh, I'm just warning you right now. Jake has a Yankee problem. We'll talk about that coming up. Do you have a Yankee problem, Jake?
I wouldn't call it a problem. More an expectation.
We'll talk Yankees, Cubs, Bryce Harper. We got to talk Isaiah Thomas. Huge Laker news today that we'll get to. Carmelo Anthony's running his gums. Shaq spent $70,000 at a store you might not believe you could spend $70,000 at. And we played a lot more Fortnite today, and those are minutes I'll never get back in my life.
Come on.
Make sure you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We'll talk Fortnite. Just settle down. We'll talk Fortnite. Because I have a lot of opinions on Fortnite. I know everybody loves it. And I don't hate Fortnite. No, we're not doing this now. Let's talk Major League Baseball after you find me on Twitter. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find me on Twitter. And I'm curious, how excited are you for Major League Baseball, Jake? Because I got to tell you that I am pretty fired up about it. It's one of the sports in my day, back in my day, opening day was, you know, it was special. It was unique. I vividly remember racing home from school just to make sure I saw the Cubs.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Major League Baseball. It is truly one of my passions in life. How special do you have opening day memories? Like, I mean, what do you, when I say Major League Baseball opening day, what comes to mind?
I just get excited. I don't necessarily have memories of opening day itself, but my childhood baseball memories are either playing or getting home from school in the middle of summer when it's 90% humidity and it's 90 degrees out in Chicago, and you're sweating your tail off, and you walk inside of that
your
cool
tail.
Air conditioning, and you turn the Cubs game on, and all is right with the world.
Boom. Go Cubs. Yeah. But when I say 2018 Major League Baseball, one of the things I'm really excited about are the Chicago Cubs. As a Chicago guy and as somebody who's admired that team my entire life, this is a year where I think they're going to be truly elite. And I'm really excited about it. Everybody from Kyle Schwarber to Yu Darvish has come into camp in great shape. They've had position battles in center field and second base, and I mean, all of this great stuff, everything you want your baseball team to be, the Chicago Cubs are. I am truly excited for what they're going to be this year. Should I believe that the Cubs will go to the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should, and I think everybody shares your general excitement about the Cubs. I mean, it's not some secret that they're one of the best clubs in the league. I mean, it's not secret. Everybody knows how good they are and how wide open that window is for them to win right now. I mean, they probably got, you know, at least three more seasons of excellence. I mean, at least, depending on contracts and whatnot. But I think if you're a Cubs fan, you're in great shape. And the idea that you're going to try and get Bryce Harper, you know, in the offseason should excite you.
It should. So if the Cubs are truly elite, who are the worst teams in baseball right now? When I think really bad baseball teams, I think the Florida Marlins. I think the Chicago White Sox.
I think the whole state of Florida. The Marlins,
Tampa,
the Rays.
Like, certainly Tampa, no doubt about it. The Rays are absolutely not going to contend. I look at Baltimore as a team that probably should be better, but they don't have much pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to trade Machado. So I don't think they're going to contend. The Royals won't contend. The Tigers won't contend. Will the Mets contend?
If their pitching can stay healthy, they will.
Well, when you have that much pitching, you really should contend. Will the San Francisco Giants contend?
Contend for the division? Certainly. I think they will. I think they're gonna have a really tough start to the season, but at the same time, I think once June gets here, I think they'll be fine. You know, you get your guys back, Bumgarner comes back, and at that point, you'll be okay. I think they've shown that they are a different offensive team now. They are not
Yes.
that small ball team anymore, and I think people are going to have to adjust to that.
If I said to you one lock, you can only have one team that's absolutely not going to win 80 games, one team that will for sure be under 500, is it the Marlins? Is it the Royals?
I would take the Rays all day.
I think the Rays are going to be a little better than you give them credit for. What about the Cincinnati Reds? The Reds, I think, have to be there. The Reds are not going to be very good. I just think there's not many teams, and I bring this up to say, I think there's maybe five teams. The Cubs. The Yankees.
That are what? World Series contenders?
That are true world championship caliber teams.
Yeah.
Cubs, Yankees, Astros certainly have to be there. I don't put the Dodgers as one of the upper cut teams that are absolutely going to contend for a world championship. There's just something I don't love about that club.
Well, am I wrong feeling. For that? They don't have the special feeling. They don't have that feeling the Cubs have. They don't have the feeling that the Yankees have. And they don't have the feeling that the Astros have. I mean, even though the Astros, they got through their feel-good story last year, they're still that same club. And by the way, they're a little bit better now that they have A.J. Cole. So, those teams just have a different vibe. They feel special. They
yes.
feel like this. You know, they feel like the nicest car in the parking lot, if you will. They just feel better.
Don't the Yankees feel that way?
They do. Right now they do. But, you know, my biggest concern is that, you know, the pitching's not going to hold up in the starting rotation. That's my biggest concern. I think their offense, it's obvious, is going to be fine. I think the question for the offense is how many home runs will they hit? Will they get to 100 home runs
combined? Do Judge and Stanton hit 100 home runs
combined? And if they do hit 100 home runs, what kind of success does that bring you? Is it worth trying to hit all those home runs, or should you be playing traditional baseball?
Is that 50 and 50? Is that 65 and 35? Is that because I don't see two guys on the same team hitting 50 home runs. Managers and pitchers are too savvy to let that happen, in my opinion, and yeah. I don't think it would.
Yeah.
That's just me. But I look at their lineup. And I say to myself, man.
Good luck.
Brett Gardner's a veteran. I love Aaron Judge hitting second. We've talked about this multiple times. And we've gone round and round and round. Is Aaron Judge a two-hole hitter? Well, when it's Gary Sanchez hitting fourth, I think that sets Gary Sanchez up to hit a lot of fastballs.
Well, and what everyone, the storyline that's been going around, not just with the Yankees, this has been talked about with Bryce Harper as well and Mike Trout, teams want to put pressure on the pitcher in the first inning right out of the gate. And so I think people are starting to embrace that idea. It's no longer, the mantra is no longer, well, your best hitter's got to be your three or your four hitter. That's no longer the mantra. The mantra is we need to get out and we need to rattle the starter and get him out of the game, because bullpens are so good now that we don't want the starter going six innings.
Ooh.
Now we want him going three innings, and we want you to start using that elite bullpen talent in the fourth inning instead of the seventh inning.
How much do you believe in Didi Gregorius, Aaron Hicks, Neil Walker, Brandon Drury, and Tyler Wade? Because those are the guys who are going to win a championship if the Yankees win one.
I think they're solid.
Yeah, it's not going to be Gardner and Judge and Stanton and probably not even Gary Sanchez. It's those guys, I think, that are going to have to perform. Austin Romine, in my opinion, is going to play a ton of first base because Greg Bird's out for 2 months with a bone. I mean, see, and Aaron Judge is one thing. If Aaron Judge gets hurt, you're fine to wait for him. If Giancarlo gets hurt, you're fine to wait for him. Greg Bird's time in New York should come to an end. This should be his last season as a Yankee, because it's asking too much to keep waiting on this guy. And in my opinion, you're going to have to figure out what to do without him, because I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah.
And if I'm the Yankees, I'm probably figuring out Austin Romine, Tyler Austin. Those are two different players, Austin Romine and Tyler Austin. but you talk about bullpens. I'm more concerned about Severino and Tanaka for sure. Although a lot of people think Tanaka is going to have a bounce back year this year, but Sabathia, Sonny Gray, Jordan Montgomery's unproven.
Sabathia is the perfect example. Sabathia is a guy who's been doing this for a long time. He's been in the big leagues for a long time. My question for Sabathia is, can you go the entire season? Can you give me 28 starts?
I don't think so.
Can you give me at least 5 innings a start?
Can
CeCe
give you 20 starts and go 6 innings?
I don't know. That's a big question.
I don't know either. And I think that's why they're not world championship material. And you'll just think that I'm being a red ass. I'm not. I think, believe it or not, I think the Boston Red Sox are closer to the World Series than the New York Yankees are. And I look at the Red Sox, yeah. I see a lot more bounce back from their secondary players. Like, you know, David Price is an interesting guy to me right now. David Price is a guy that smacks of, I'm coming back. I have something to prove. I am going to be a major contributor for this baseball team. And if that happens, and Chris Sale's got to pitch well, too. He's gotten hit by two line drives this spring.
Oh, listen, it's not like he didn't pitch well last season. He didn't pitch well in the playoffs.
In the postseason.
He didn't pitch well in the playoffs. And, yeah. And I think if you're Chris Sale, you just got to keep doing you, and you got to know that now this year you've been through this before. I was saying this last year before the playoffs. He had never pitched in a postseason game.
Yeah.
It's a different beast.
If you get 200 innings out of Sale, Price, and Porcello, I think you're going to win that division. Because if they're giving you 200 innings, what that tells me is Craig Kimbrell is going to have a huge year. That bullpen, I think, is going to be pretty solid. My biggest question is, can you count on the Eduardo Nunez's of the world? Can you count on a guy like J.D. Martinez to give you 30 bombs? Because they're paying him for that. And I don't expect him to be the guy he was in Arizona last year, but J.D. Martinez needs to be a legit power hitter in that lineup, or they're in trouble, because Hanley and Ramirez just can't do the job anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm going to take the Yankees over the Red Sox for the division. I just think when you're pitching against that kind of a lineup, your starters are not going to make it. It would take an absolute dominant performance to just blow you away. I am better than you are as my pitching is better than you are as a hitter, and their hitters are too good, in my opinion. And I think Chris Sale is a fastball pitcher who has a great slurve curveball.
Yeah.
So I think anytime you got a guy who's left-handed and throws 97, and that 97 is pretty straight, in my opinion, I think he's going to get hit by the Yankees. But I also think, you know, they play so much that the odds are in the Red Sox pitcher's favor to win. So I don't know. It's tough to say.
You know, one of the bigger questions in the American League for me is, can Trevor Bauer perform? Can Trevor Bauer give the Cleveland Indians 200 innings? Is he a guy you can count on for 15 wins? That's a real question mark. That team is massively underachieved. For the talent that they have.
Your Cubs did that to them.
Well, yeah. I mean, they had the World Series one, Cleveland did. And then that rain delay happened. But the Lindor, Kipnis, Encarnacion's, that group of guys is not getting younger. And I'm not saying that Lindor's old. I'm saying that Kipnis, Encarnacion, like Yonder Alonso, I don't get it. Because Yonder Alonso does not excite me as a first baseman. Yonder Alonso is average. They need guys like Lonnie Chisenhall. They need guys like Yan Gomes or a Rajay Davis.
Yeah.
Who I think was a non-roster invitee. Like, they need those guys to perform. They've got pitching for days, frankly. If Trevor Bauer gives them 200 innings, I think you're in good shape. And clearly our dogs don't think that Trevor Bauer is going to do that.
Yeah, they're mad.
But the point is, I think the American League is loaded. But I think the far more intriguing stories are in the National League. And as we look at opening day 2018 tomorrow, I love the NL West. I think the NL West is absolutely one of the most compelling divisions in baseball. And day by day, every single day of the baseball season, the NL West is absolutely going to be a meat grinder. And you look at what's going on in San Francisco. Unfortunately, the injuries to Bumgarner and Samardzija, that's really unfortunate, because those injuries change the face. They change the direction of the NL West, because now you got to believe that the Dodgers are the favorite in that division. And again, I'm not married to the Dodgers. There's something, as I just said a minute ago, there's something missing with the LA Dodgers. I think it's that Neil Walker piece. It's that utility player. It's like, why haven't you gone and found Brandon Phillips yet? That is one of the bigger, more interesting questions to me. You let Neil Walker get away to the Yankees. That's a piece I think you need. And if you're the LA Dodgers, damn, dude, you got to spend that money. So where is B. Phil? Where do the Dodgers get that utility piece? Because there's a lot of people who believe that the LA Dodgers are going to be world champions.
I don't believe that. And I also don't believe the idea that the Dodgers are this great power. I think in the West they'll do just fine, because the West is not a great division by any standards.
But they're not a great team.
They're not a great all-around team. And the problem is that, you know, with the Indians, you were talking about their role players and guys that needed to contribute for them to win. The Dodgers have that same problem. The Dodgers have guys like Jock Peterson who can't hit a baseball for some reason. They have Logan Forsythe as their third baseman because Turner's hurt. So I don't know. I don't think they're a great team. I certainly think they're a good team. They're a playoff team, but it's close.
Listen, for Jock Peterson, he made the team, by the way. Jock Peterson, I mean, he'll never, will he in his major league career get 500 at-bats in a season?
I doubt that.
I doubt that.
He strikes out too much.
I mean, he is such a flawed athlete, and Periscope right now just going crazy over the Dodgers. Isaac Kyle Jr. saying that they're going to win it all.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, I think that they have the talent to win it all, but that talent won't perform. Jock Peterson's not a guy you can play every day. I look at their bench, and I look at Austin Barnes. I look at Kike Hernandez. Matt Kemp's a real question mark. I think Matt Kemp's going to have to play a lot of baseball. Matt Kemp probably should be a 300 at-bat guy, and I think that's a maximum. I think somehow, some way, Matt Kemp's probably going to find himself over 300 at-bats, and if that happens, I don't see how the Dodgers win.
But again, we keep finding ourselves talking about age with these clubs, right? These clubs that may have the talent to get there, but because they're older and because those legs on guys like Matt Kemp have played so much baseball in their life and will not be able to get to, you know, 500 at-bats and be fresh.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant's knocking out 500 at-bats a year like it's no problem. Matt Kemp's not. He's not that guy anymore. So when you don't have great backup talent, you're in trouble.
Depth is huge. Depth is huge in this baseball season. I look at other guys. I look at guys like their pitching staff. Clayton Kershaw is a guy you wonder, is he going to be healthy enough to get to 200 innings? There's nobody else in that rotation that's good enough. And now, by the way, 200 innings 10 years ago was a really low bar.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just hoping that guys get to 200 innings, and you're hoping that Clayton Kershaw can make you 30 starts, right? Like
I don't buy it. I don't buy that he's getting to 30 starts. I think he gets to 20 to 25 starts because I think he misses a month with the bat.
Well, if he only gets 25 starts, he's not breaking 200 innings. Can they win the World Series if they don't have, if the LA Dodgers don't have a 200 inning pitcher, not a single guy that breaks 200 innings? You can't tell me they're going to win the World Series because
no.
Their bullpen's going to be just dead by the time they get to July.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I say, and I'm not saying the NL West is this end-all, beat-all division, but I think you have some real testers in teams like the San Diego Padres. Eric Hosmer jumping up and down today talking about how much he loves Petco Park. Now, granted, there's part of me that says, well, what would you expect him to say?
Mm-hmm.
But their lineup in San Diego is much, much better. I look at the San Francisco Giants. They've got to get through the first month, 5 weeks of the season, because they have the Samardzija and the Bumgarner injury. How they do that, I don't know.
Well, you take the beating. That's how you do it. You lose.
Well, all of a sudden, Johnny Cueto needs to become Cy Young,
mm-hmm.
is how you get through that. Because if you're throwing a bullpen game every 4 days, you know, or if you're only getting one quality start a week, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If Johnny Cueto has a meltdown 2-3 times in the first month, they're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants will be in significant trouble. So when we talk about what the NL West is, I don't think we know what the NL West is. I don't think we know, will the Giants go and make a move? I don't think so. I really don't. I think they're not a team that wants to pay the luxury tax.
No,
nor should they.
And I think they've made a lot of moves to put themselves in a decent position. I mean, you can't put them as the favorite in the West, nor can you put the Dodgers as the favorite in the West at this point. I think it's going to be one of those divisions that's just grinded out all year long. The Dodgers will win 5-6 in a row. Then, you know, the Giants will win 8 of 10, and the Dodgers will drop a couple.
We haven't even mentioned the Arizona Diamondbacks or the Colorado Rockies. I actually like a couple of moves that Diamondbacks made this week. They finally cut loose Chris Herman,
mm-hmm.
who was a 3A player. He's a AAA player at best, but he was on their major league roster all of last year and the year before as a backup catcher, first baseman, outfielder, and he really doesn't play any of those positions well.
And he doesn't hit.
And they sent Yasmani Tomas to Reno, to AAA. I think that's exactly what this ball club needed to do.
Yeah.
So I kind of like the pragmatic decision-making that Mike Hazen and Torey Lovello are putting together right now. Now, that doesn't mean that they have a pitching staff. People are raving about the Arizona Diamondbacks pitching staff. So my question to baseball fans is, what excites you about the Diamondbacks? Because I personally don't see it in their rotation.
There's and only one guy.
Boxberger's their closer now. I don't see it in there. So are you prepping Archie Bradley to be a starter on this team?
I think that's a real possibility, especially with, you know, guys like Patrick Corbin. What's going to happen when Patrick Corbin gets lit up 5-6 starts in a row? I mean,
tomorrow's a huge day for that kid.
If you're cutting Chris Herman, how long do you cut Patrick Corbin? It's not like Corbin gave you some great year last year.
Oh, you'll trade him. You won't cut him.
Whatever you do, make a roster move, whatever it's going to be. You know, I mean, at some point, that kid's got to go. And I think people, again, we hear this all the time. People look at stats before they watch a game, or they never even watch the game. They just look at what's on paper. Patrick Corbin doesn't have it. We've watched him a bunch. In my opinion, he doesn't have it.
He doesn't pass the eye test.
No.
And he has the stuff to pass the eye test, but he doesn't believe in his fastball enough. He's another left-handed pitcher that if he would throw his fastball a majority of the time, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
I could say the same thing about Taijuan Walker. Taijuan Walker throws mid-90s and doesn't throw mid-90s enough.
Yeah.
Not a 200-inning guy. Corbin, not a 200-inning guy. Is Robbie Ray, who I think is the ace of their staff and would likely be an ace on most people's staff, but is he a 200-inning guy because he throws hard and he throws a volume of pitches? I don't know.
You need a hell of a defense behind him.
You do.
Because he's not getting 200 innings with 13 strikeouts every game.
And everybody's making a big deal about the humidor. And
dude, the players commented on that. They didn't even notice that much of a difference.
No, because you won't. You won't. And by the way, I don't believe in Colorado at all. I just don't.
What's there to grab onto? Nothing.
Speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
We're 22 minutes into the Monty Show.
Yeah.
And we haven't mentioned the Washington Nationals once.
Good.
Are you a Washington Nationals hater now?
I'm not a hater. We've just talked Bryce Harper a lot. So
Are you because there is a growing movement, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of fans who are tired of the Nationals hype. Because they have been so hyped.
Well, they have. They've allegedly been the best team in baseball for, what, 6 years now? 5 years now?
Well, I just think since spring training started, all anybody's talked about is how good they are.
Yeah, but how many years in a row have we been talking about how good the Nationals are? How they should, you know, go to the World Series? How now they picked up Scherzer, so now their rotation's great. Like, they have all this stuff, and you still lost to Wade Davis. How is that possible? You still were not in a position to yeah. be ahead in it when it counted. And that's my biggest question. I feel like they have the talent to go all the way. They have the talent to beat the best teams in baseball.
Absolutely they do.
But somehow, some way, they find a way to be behind in the ninth inning facing an elite closer like Kenley Jansen or Wade Davis.
I think this is the year that changes.
I hope so.
I think it's the Cubs and the Nationals.
How much longer do the Nationals have? 2 years?
Oh, this is it right here.
I think
because they're
going
to lose Bryce. I don't think Bryce is going back there. And my biggest question is, who on that pitching staff is going to break down? Because that's my biggest concern. If they, again, I don't mean to keep going to the 200 innings card. If they get 200 innings from Scherzer, who is almost guaranteed, if they get 200 innings from Scherzer, do they get 200 from Strasburg? Do you get 200 from Gio Gonzalez, who walks too many guys on that curveball? What about a guy like a Roark and A.J. Cole, who you mentioned earlier? Does A.J. Cole even give you 20 starts? Probably not. So, you know, we're going round and round and talking about all this. Don't forget, they don't have Daniel Murphy for the first month of the season. He had knee surgery. So you're going to start an older Howie Kendrick at second base.
But you don't need Howie Kendrick to be all world for you. You just need him to be good enough
to
fill that role.
You need him to catch ground balls.
Yeah.
You need him to be able to turn the double play. He'll hit because Howie Kendrick's a professional hitter. But you can't tell me it's going to be flawless at second base. I don't buy that for a second. How long has it been since Kendrick was an everyday infielder in the big leagues? A long time. So I look at and that's why I say, and you're going to say I'm a homer, I'm not. I look at the Cubs as the only team that doesn't have a true flaw. They have depth. Their depth is pushing.
And that's in the National League or all of baseball? Because I think the Astros are right there. It's the Astros and the Cubs as two teams that don't really have flaws.
I kind of think the Houston Astros, well, the Astros have a really good bullpen, so I think that helps them a lot. But they have such an easy road, too. The Astros can afford, because they play in the American League, and because I look at a lot of the divisions in the American League, and I'm like, wow, the East is not going to be... The East is the Yankees and the Red Sox.
That's it.
Right? What is the NL West? Or what is the AL West, rather?
There's not a lot. Mariners are okay. The Angels are not going to be good, in my opinion.
They don't have a pitcher.
But they don't have pitching. Yeah.
The Angels can rank. They don't have a pitcher, right? They don't have a bullpen guy or a starter.
The A's are the A's. The A's are the Rangers.
The Rangers don't got nobody.
I'm not talking about their division. I'm talking about all of baseball. Who are they going to see in the postseason? They're going to see the Yankees, I think, in the ALCS. I can't really think of another team where I'm like, yes,
there's
you're
not.
Seeing that team.
But that's my point. There's not, because that Royals feel-good team
Indians?
Is completely broken up. But again, the Indians are beatable because their pitching in the postseason was not elite. You know, Kluber got hit, Bauer. Cleveland has flaws, okay?
Yeah.
The Houston Astros have pad, in my opinion. I look at their starters. I think they have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, especially one of the best rotations. Now that Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers, Garrett Cole added to that first four, and then Charlie Morton, I think all of those guys are 200 inning guys.
Yeah.
As long as they stay healthy.
Yeah.
So we go from this dichotomy of the LA Dodgers may not have any 200 inning starters. The Houston Astros damn well may have four, and if everything breaks right, five, all things being equal and, you know, the injuries don't happen. I mean, it's remarkable.
But how did they get there?
They drafted well.
Draft, and they farmed their players.
And they traded for Justin Verlander in a stroke of genius.
And then Garrett Cole.
Yeah, Garrett Cole will be interesting.
He needs to come through. Now's the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Who's going to win the World Series? I got to go with the Cubs.
I would pick the Cubs as the favorites. Who they're going to see in the AL is tough to say.
You got
to
say Houston. You got it. Because I'm telling you, what do I always say about baseball? The old rule is...
Pitching beats good hitting.
Great pitching beats great hitting every single time. And when you are really good up the middle, when you have a really good catcher, a really good pitching staff, a really good middle infield, and a really good center fielder... How many teams can say that?
Yeah.
I think there's two.
Yeah.
I think that's the Cubs and the Astros. And I think that's what wins out. And I look at this Cub team. They made some really difficult decisions. They let Avila go to Arizona. I thought he was a great
backup.
With that. But now they've got Jimenez and Caratini. And, you know, they've done well there. And so I look at guys like John Jay and Jake Arrieta, who looks, by the way, how damn good does that guy look in Philly? Like, I mean, he for the short spring he had,
dude, he's got
holy
he's
cow,
got nothing to pitch for. Just money.
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. Anyway, point is, but you've got like Albert Almora Jr. and Ian Happ punching each other in the face to play center field. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then your rotation in Chicago with Lester, Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana, and Chatwood. There's three potential Cy Young candidates there in Hendricks, Darvish, and Quintana. Not one or two or three. There's the three solid.
Look, you're in good shape. What else is there to say?
Yeah,
you're in really good shape.
I think you're in really good shape. So anyway, here, near there, I think that's what baseball looks like. I think that's this is going to be a great season.
Yeah.
And if everybody stays healthy, and that's really what I'm hoping for, I'm hoping that all the best teams stay healthy and there are some surprises maybe mixed in there. I don't know. But I feel like this is going to be a really, really good Major League Baseball season. It is not going to be a good end to the basketball season for Isaiah Thomas. Let's talk a little Laker basketball on The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show on Twitter. Huge news out of L.A. today that Isaiah Thomas is not in L.A. He's completely opposite in New York because he's having hip surgery, and his season is over. It's the same injury he had last year in Boston that kept him out a good start of this year, but this time he's going to have that hip socket cleaned out. He's out for the year. Lakers, according to Woj, the Woj bomb.
Woj bomb.
Woj bomb had an interesting report that potentially the Lakers will make Isaiah Thomas an offer over the summer. They'd like to talk to him. I don't believe that.
No.
Not for a second.
Nice try.
I think what this is Isaiah Thomas waving goodbye to the twilight of his career. Because I don't know that I can think of another guy in any sport that's fallen so far, so fast. He went from the MVP, dominating in Boston a year ago. His sister passed away. He got hurt. He was out. He gets traded from Boston to Cleveland. And now is just irrelevant. And who knows if anybody picks him up next year. Because his game, again, does not translate to every team. Playoff teams probably would have a hard time fitting Isaiah Thomas in.
Yeah.
I think there's a real chance that he is a bench player. Remember, he said, quote, I ain't no bench guy. Mm-hmm. I ain't no sixth man. Isaiah Thomas is in real trouble here. Have we seen the best of Isaiah Thomas's career?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion. I mean, his days with the Celtics were the glory days if you're Isaiah Thomas. But at this point, I don't know. This is a guy to me that's just screaming, hey, I'm going to be coming off injury. Let me go play for the Magic, or let me go play for some terrible team and revive my career a little bit here. Because, you know, playing with the Lakers, it's just so painful. Watch footage of it. I mean, him coming on the floor, that's a different team.
Yeah.
They're terrible playing with him. And then all of a sudden Lonzo comes on the floor and the pace is better because Lonzo's trying to push it up the floor, you know.
Oh, there's breaking news in Philly.
Oh, boy.
Joel Embiid is hurt. He and Markel Fultz banged heads tonight, and Joel Embiid is out for the rest of the night. Can Markel Fultz not catch a break? Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. I think Isaiah Thomas is done. I think his best days are well behind him.
Yeah.
And I think the big contract he was chasing in free agency will never materialize.
Yeah.
Because now he's hurt and he's not a good team player. I think Isaiah Thomas's best days are behind him. By the way, what does this mean for the Lakers? They lose Isaiah for the year, but now they get Brandon Ingram back, which I think is a big deal.
That's one hell of a trade. I like that.
Yeah, hey, I like that trade every day. Because Brandon Ingram is part of the future core of the Los Angeles Lakers, without question. So, A, should Brandon Ingram be part of that core? I'm not sold on him yet. If I had to ask you today, March 28, 2018, is Brandon Ingram in 5 years from now? Is he an all-star? Is he a top-tier scorer? What does Brandon Ingram turn into?
Yeah, I think he's an all-star and a predominantly offensive player. I'm not saying he's a one-way player, but I don't think he's a great defender. I think he's a guy that's long, he's lanky, he needs to put muscle on. You know, he's just like many of the young athletes that come into the NBA who are just sticks, really. They got to put on a ton of muscle, and they got to get stronger. And I think we've seen, before the injury, he was actually playing really well, and you started to see him physically, not dominate guys, but really physically start bumping guys on his way to the bucket. And that's improvement for him. And so I think if you're Brandon Ingram, all you got to do is just keep doing you. Just keep improving. And I think he should be part of the core. I think he fits in nicely. He's clearly one of the boys on that team.
16 points a game, 5 boards, 4 assists a game.
What does that do? Takes the pressure off Lonzo to score the ball. I think it'd be a great thing.
I think Brandon Ingram's upside is probably 22, 23 points a game. I could see him being a double-double guy and getting a 10 rebounds. He's long enough. He's quick enough. And I wonder, though, is Brandon Ingram a guy that LeBron's like, oh, yeah, I'd want to play with him?
I think Julius Randle is that guy. I think Julius Randle is that guy.
So is Julius Randle a long-term Laker?
If I'm the Lakers, yeah. I think he's earned it.
It's a lot of money. That's luxury tax
right
there.
Again, last time we talked about it, he's going to have to be accepting of the fact that he's going to have to take less money for more talent. If you want to play with LeBron James, you're going to have to take less money.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And if you don't want to do that, we'll see you later.
Yeah. Are they going to get – is LeBron and Paul George, are they coming to L.A.?
LeBron to L.A. I think is real. Paul George, I'm not so sure, because him and Westbrook are a nice little duo.
Well, yeah, but Carmelo Anthony is an odd fit there, and he's going to opt into that contract. You know that. Carmelo Anthony today guaranteed Oklahoma City is going to make the playoffs. Okay, well, this is not rocket science.
That's not saying too much.
Right, yeah, I think they're fairly comfortable in the standings. I just don't like him in Oklahoma City. I don't mind Carm. I think he's a good player.
Where do you like him?
He was fine with the Knicks. He would be fine in Brooklyn. He'd be fine with on an average team that's not trying to win a championship because he just isn't that guy. You know, if he was still on Denver, they'd be worse for it. You know, if he's on a young developing team, they're worse for it. If he'd come off the bench for Minnesota, they'd be better for it. They'd be better for it if he was coming off the bench. You know, I don't know, man. Carmelo Anthony is in a weird, awkward spot career-wise. Because
He's on the downhill.
Well, yeah, but I think I don't know that there's a whole bunch of teams that are out saying, man, I wish I had Carmelo.
They're not.
I just don't see his market there, which is why he'll opt in Oklahoma City. But I think if he opts in, I think Paul George absolutely will walk away. And why wouldn't he? You know, they're not going to win a championship with the group that they have.
Yeah.
If you subtracted Carmelo Anthony and put a role player in there, I think they're better for that.
Yeah.
And totally not agree. Roberson or, put a new role player in there.
Put an Oladipo in there.
Yeah, put a Jimmy Buckets in there. But
Buckets is not a role player.
Oh, I think he fits in wherever you tell him to, and he does his job really well. See, and this is
ego-wise,
a discussion.
Though.
We're going to wind up going here one day because Jimmy's going to be a free agent. Jimmy Butler is not a number one, and I could argue he's not a number two.
Dude, he thinks he is, though.
Well, but yeah, and I think that I'm a freaking weightlifting three-point shooting machine, and I'm not, right? Like, we all believe we're something that we're not. Sorry, Jimmy Butler, I don't think he's a number one. He does things that number one guys do, but mainly with him, it's mentality.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, like talent-wise, Jimmy Butler could be somebody's number one, no problem. But it's mentality that's an issue with him. So to me, Carmelo Anthony has the wrong mentality and is out of talent now. Like, I just think it's not there anymore. I don't know. One other thing we got to talk about in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The land. My wife chastises me for saying us. The land. Two O's in Goose Boys. She hates when we say the land. She's like, well, it could be Chicago land. It could, no.
Oakland.
It could be the land. It's Cleveland, the land. What is going on with them? Kevin Love goes out of the game last night. They got torched. The Cleveland Cavaliers did. When Kevin Love's not in the lineup, I think we're quickly seeing that this is a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Clarkson's not a number two. That much is very clear.
I just think he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do with the ball. It's so painfully clear. Like, you'll see him bring it up the floor, you know, and he's on the wing. And it's like you can see his inner self is saying, hey, take this to the hole. Do what Kobe told you to do. But then the team guy says, you know what, you need to run the offense here. Wait for the pick. Wait for the guy to come off the pick and move the ball.
Can't do it.
And he can't do it. He wants to play me ball instead of team ball.
Are they 20 points behind Miami?
No.
I don't know how you explain the fact that you look at their team, Jeff Green, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Calderon, and George Hill last night. That team should beat the Heat.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Love gets punched in the mouth, almost loses a tooth, and gets concussed. He's in the concussion protocol. He's done. They're done. I don't know how you explain it. Like, their whole thing changed once Kevin Love went out of this game. And really, it's because Larry Nance is not a shooter. Larry Nance is a second-chance point guy.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is a guy that can shoot and can get to the bucket.
Yeah.
And I think
he spreads the floor. That's the difference. When Kevin Love is on the floor, he goes into the corner, and he draws the big man out of the paint. And it's not that LeBron can't handle it, but LeBron dominates smaller players. It's that simple. There's a reason that LeBron likes to drive. And so yeah. I think when Kevin Love goes to the corner, his guy's going to follow him out there because he can shoot. When Larry Nance goes to the elbow, his guy's not following him out there because he's not in fear of Larry Nance shooting an elbow jumper the way that Kevin Love is feared for shooting the three.
Yeah, and they're beating Charlotte, by the way, by 10 at the half, 64-54. And if you look at the way this game played out, they're starting five, Hood, Hill, Tristan Thompson, LeBron James, Jeff Green. LeBron's got 22, Jordan Clarkson. LeBron's got 22. I can't read.
Hello.
Smith has...
JR.
JR's got 10. Nobody else is in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
Green's got 9. Rodney Hood, 1 of 3 from 3, has 6. Like, this team just... They're just flat.
Dysfunctional.
Larry Nance, 10 minutes, 4 points, 6 boards. Block and a steal. It's exactly what I'd expect out of Larry Nance. So he's doing his job. I don't know. They're a horrendously flawed team.
Dude, they're a mess. Yeah. They're a mess. How are you so reliant on Kevin Love? How can the rest of the guys not pick up that slack? Because that's what it says to me.
You can't tell me LeBron's going back there.
I don't
with
buy
this
it.
Dysfunctional
no
and broken
way.
As that roster
he's
is.
He's got to win another title, at least one more.
Yeah, I don't see him going back there. By the way, The Boston Celtics are in Utah tonight.
Do they still have an active roster?
The Boston Celtics? No, they're all dead. this is going to be interesting because obviously this was supposed to be another of Gordon Hayward's returns to Utah. Mm-hmm. And Jazz fans want to boo him. We had this big discussion on Twitter, and Jazz fans will boo him. And I hate it. I think it's the absolute wrong thing to do.
Grow up. Grow up. I mean, it's a business, and you can be mad at Gordon Hayward, but really you should be mad at the front office.
RCZ800 says, Jazz fans think Gordon left the Jazz with their hands tied because of how long it took him to take his call about leaving, to make his call about leaving.
I don't buy that.
You knew he was gone.
It should have never got there. You should have locked him up a year ago and been done with it. It's that simple.
Alex_32 on Twitter says we will boo him for the rest of his career.
Well, that's great. Bro, you can boo Gordon Hayward, but he's going to go ahead and win a couple titles while you're still chilling in Utah.
Like, why though? That's what I don't
because
understand.
Because it's easy.
See, but
to
wait. You say that, and I disagree with it. I don't know that Gordon's going to go win a couple of titles, and I think the Jazz now have just as good a chance to win titles as the Celtics do.
This particular season, long term, it's not even close. The Celtics are a better team.
I don't agree with that. I think.
Dude, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, and then you have Rozier, you have Smart.
Yeah, Al Horford. Like, I get it. They're all hurt. There's a bunch of injuries. I get it.
You need another guy in Utah. It's
and they're
going
to, and I think they'll add that. Now, that's not going to be LeBron or PG. It's probably not going to be Isaiah Thomas. Like, I get it. But they're in position, cap-wise, to go trade for or sign a free agent. Remember, Favors is a free agent. He's the only major decision they have to make.
Right, and I agree with you that that's the position they're in. But when's the last time they went out and signed a huge free agent or made any kind of aggressive move?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you what that is. That's the
Jay Crowder.
That's the Jay Crowder trade, which I think was a great trade. Trading Rodney Hood. Letting go of Rodney Hood was no small decision for Dennis Lindsay. That's a guy he drafted, they developed, and they decided, hey, it's time to let him go. It's time to let George Hill go. It's time to let, like, the decisions they've made in the last calendar year have all worked out really well. He and Dennis Lindsay, I think, has righted a lot of his wrongs. Trey Lyles is Donovan Mitchell. That was a great trade. Trey Lyles was a terrible draft pick. He made that right.
I'm just saying, I get that you like the Jazz, and I like the Jazz too, but let's slow our roll a little bit when we're comparing them to the Boston Celtics. A fully healthy Boston Celtics is better than a fully healthy Jazz.
Right, but I think now, with Kyrie's health in question, the Jazz have, I think, one of the best young stars in basketball, a potential MVP candidate. I think going forward, the next probably in 3 years from now, Donovan Mitchell's an MVP candidate. Rudy Gobert is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate every single year. So if you just add, you need a third guy. You need somebody. You need the guy that LeBron's looking for.
You need a big three.
I agree. Because you have two stars. The problem is Rudy Gobert's not an offensive force. You need another inflict your will on him kind of guy.
Jay Crowder can't be the third guy.
Ugh, but he's so good.
Yeah, but he's not a primary guy. He's the guy that hits the three every once in a while to seal the game.
Yeah. Well, I think they need another guy that can get his own.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need. And because they have a ton of shooting, the development that they've put into Joe Ingles. I mean, I could go on and on about this. The bottom line is don't boo Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
I get why you want to. Don't do that. And I hope the Jazz do honor him, play a video, do whatever you got to do. Because Gordon Hayward was a good Jazz man. And you might not like the way it ended, but booing Gordon Hayward serves no greater purpose, in my opinion. But that's just me. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Before we talk about how much I've grown to dislike playing Fortnite, I'm kidding. See, it just pisses you off so much.
Because it's... No. We're not doing that yet.
I actually don't hate Fortnite. I'm kidding. I do want to talk about Shaq and Walmart. What's the most money you've ever spent in one lump sum?
$3,000, probably. Buying the car.
That's it. Know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're only 20-something. What are you, 24 now? Shaquille O'Neal went to Walmart and spent $70,000.
For what?
One time. Okay. When the Heat traded Shaq to Phoenix, his apartment wasn't furnished. So he went to Walmart to buy all of his essentials. O'Neal's credit card was declined at checkout. He had to tell American Express that he was indeed trying to make the purchase, right? He bought everything. He spent $70,000. O'Neal said, buying up everything from furniture to clothes and amenities. They already got the apartment set up, and I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no towels. I ain't got no pots or pans. I'm Walmart's biggest customer. Pants, socks, underwears, tank tops, TVs, printers, computers. At Walmart.
Such a Shaq thing to do, right?
It's the single largest purchase in the history of Walmart by Shaquille O'Neal. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to sound like an elitist. I don't shop at Walmart.
No.
Ever. Like, Walmart scares me. I'm trying to think of the last time I was in a Walmart.
Hawaii.
Oh, we were in Walmart in Hawaii. Yes. Yes. November, Thanksgiving, I was at a Walmart. I don't go to Walmart. I'm much more a Target guy. And now with all the superstores, like I can go to Fry's, Costco. I'll go to Costco long before I'll go to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just give me your general opinion of Walmart.
I think it's lower end. That's all. I mean, it's a lower end store. I mean, you can get everything.
What
you
does
need.
That mean?
It just means, look, let's be honest. It's the clientele who shops there, right?
Yes.
Like, it's a lower end clientele because it's a lower end product. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the fact of who they are as a business. You're not talking about Whole Foods where everybody's beautiful wife and three kids are going there to shop for their
linen pants.
Yeah, you know, like it's not that.
And Walmart, their yoga pants.
Yeah, Walmart is a cheaper man's store. It's that simple. And I don't have a problem with that. But going into Walmart, you just have to understand that. Like, you're not walking into Walmart assuming that it's some, you know, beautiful store, because it's not. It gets the job done. It has everything you need at a good cost.
Yeah. Look, I'm not, Walmart's not the problem. You're exactly right that I have felt in fear of my life at the Walmart in Round Lake Beach, Illinois. I have been in fear of my life, right? Like, I can think, the Walmart in San Dimas, California, I watched a guy get knifed in that parking lot. Like, I don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
So I tend to gravitate to Target, where they just yell at each other. They don't actually pull out the weapons. Like, that's the, because Target's no walk in the park either. You know,
well,
like,
Target has a nicer feel about it. Right, like Target has
it. It does.
It's more hospitable.
And I like their food department. Like, if you go to a super Target, and maybe all Targets have groceries now, I actually like their grocery department. I never thought I would be that guy who shopped for I don't know, power tools and hors d'oeuvres or grapes. Mm-hmm. I almost said hors d'oeuvres. Grapes in the same store. I never thought I was that
guy. Well, yeah, because what is Amazon? They're the one-stop shop for everything you need, right?
Correct.
And that's what everyone's trying to be.
Did you hear Donald Trump is trying to get Amazon now? Because a lot of Donald Trump's friends, this is an interesting story. I actually took time out of my life to read this story today. Because I don't read, honestly, I don't read much Donald Trump news anymore.
You used to read CNN.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, I feel like if there's a news story about Donald Trump, it's probably a bunch of garbage. Let's be honest, all right? Like, somebody's lying about something, whether it's him or somebody else or who knows, whatever. So I kind of stay a lot away from it. But there was a story on, I think, Drudge Report, one of the news sites, where Donald Trump is rumored to be going after Jeff Bezos and Amazon because a lot of Donald Trump's friends are losing money to Amazon. Because he has, supposedly, I didn't know he had friends, but Donald Trump's friends are big business in America.
Well, Donald Trump is a businessman. That makes sense. He's not a political leader. Or not fit to be.
Okay.
He is.
Moving on. Because that's probably true. But, you know, Dutard is trying to shut down Amazon.
That's never going to happen.
Where am I going to get my amino energy from? Where am I going to get...
Optimum Nutrition.
Yeah, like, but no! Amazon!
Yeah.
What about Alexa?
Well, Amazon... So, the funny
Come
thing
on.
Is... Amazon didn't exist before our lifetimes began, right? So now my kids will never have experienced life without Amazon. And I think that's interesting. Amazon's not going away. Amazon's not being stopped.
Apple?
What about it?
You think Apple ever goes out of business?
No. No.
I don't
know,
man.
The iPhone's too good.
Their new iPad is getting crushed.
What's getting crushed is the relationship between the Apple Pencil and the iPad Pro versus the Microsoft tablet that I can't think of.
Yeah. Surface.
The Surface Pro. Yeah, so the Apple Pencil is allegedly able to work on both of those. Obviously more compatible with Apple, but can still do most functions on
the Surface. Did you like your Apple Pencil?
I do like it. I don't have a lot of uses for it every single day, but there are certain times where I like using it.
Yeah.
I like that it charges quickly. Like, you can plug it in for 15 minutes and it's charged. Like,
yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Apple ever goes out of business.
No.
Fortnite, grade it from A to F. What would you grade Fortnite?
A minus.
Really?
Yeah.
You like it that much?
That's fun.
How many kills do you have in Fortnite?
I think 3.
I've probably played 50 games now. I've got one. Like with a sniper
it
rifle.
It should be said, it's not about killing people.
It's about surviving.
It's about surviving.
We have both now made it to, I think you died the one of the last 3 people.
Yeah, that's my highest finish.
I died one of the last 2 people. I can't kill anybody in Fortnite.
It's not easy.
It's not. First, it's this third person BS. And like, there's not a lot of great guns. If you have a golden sniper rifle with a scope, okay, I can kill anybody in that game. But you can't even shoot them from far away.
Well,
right? Like,
the real problem is in Fortnite, you have to adjust for distance. So if you're far away, you gotta like put some arc into it, right? In Call of Duty, you don't have to do that. It's just pull the trigger because all the maps are small. You don't have to deal with any of that.
It's too much.
It's a different thing. I like it. I like the strategy behind it. I really do.
So you like Fortnite?
Yeah.
I give it a B.
And for a free game, it's pretty damn good.
Oh, it's free. That's right. I'll give it an A-2 then.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying, at least I'm not paying $70 to get pissed off.
Well, and that's
Fortnite.
The thing. Call of Duty and all the, like Forza, Call of Duty, FIFA, all those games are like $65-$70 a pop.
I can't do it anymore. Because I'm already paying for the flipping Xbox Live stupid thing, right? Like, I'm paying $60 a year for Xbox Live. Now I got to pay $60-$70 a game. So I like that Fortnite's free. There are in-game purchases.
And that's where they'll make their
money.
Buy
uniforms and all that kind of good stuff. But I do like that it's free. Because it's free, you're right. It's an A-.
And I think it's fun. I enjoy playing it. And you know,
it is not Call of Duty, though.
No, not even close. It will never be Call of Duty. And I don't think they were trying to be Call of Duty. I think they were trying to be a fun free game that is a lot more childish than Call of Duty was. And I think that's the part that people
like. And it appeals to a greater audience.
It's not so violent. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're shooting people, but you're not
getting
blood
and brain spatter.
You know,
yeah.
you're not hearing about UAVs and airstrike. Like, you're not hearing about any of that garbage.
Boy, that game with a if you could show up every time you shot as like a red blip, ugh, that game would be murder.
Yeah.
Fortnite's fun though. You should. It is free. You should download it. I don't hate it. Okay, I don't hate it. I'm a terrible loser
and a winner.
No, what? I am not a bad winner.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, I'm a bad winner too. Especially at basketball when I shoot better than you, which is not very often. It's even worse. Anyway, yeah, that's it. Show's over. We'll see you tomorrow. Opening day in baseball. Go Cubs.
9:30 tomorrow. Let's go.
Tomorrow, Pacific time. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.